in the book of Job. We'll begin reading in chapter 1, verse number 1, in the book of Job. Job chapter 1, verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. If it fell out of your Bible, we'll try to find it somewhere. Job chapter number 1, verse number 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His sustenance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So this man was greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Verse number 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and all that he hath, and all about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his sustenance is increased in the land. Look down to verse number 13. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yet they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only escaped alone to tell thee. Write this, underline this text phrase right here. I never had noticed this until the other day, and I've been trying to study it out a little while. Verse number 16 says this, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and to consume them, and I only am escaped to tell thee, alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and carried them away. Yeah, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Verse 18. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young man, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I need thy help tonight, Lord. I pray, dear God, Lord, that you'd use me, Lord. I'm not fit, Lord, to preach this, Lord, but I pray, dear God, you'd help me, Lord. I pray, Lord, you'd help me to help your people, Lord. Thank you for this church, Lord, that you put us in. Thank you for all you're going to do here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I noticed in verse number 6, starting in verse number 15, Job had a day. I preached one message one time, one of those days. Any of y'all ever had a day to where you had a flat tire, and then when you got the flat tire fixed, the car wouldn't start? And then you went on and you got to your job and your boss was yelling at you. And then you went on and on and on, and things just seemed like they was falling apart. I noticed in this story, Job had 4 messengers that were sent to him. And Job had a day like nobody that I know has ever had. Job lost it all in one day. And I used to think that it was all in one day. But I noticed while I was reading the Bible that as one messenger would come and tell him that the Sabaeans had failed and taken all of his oxes and his asses, there was another messenger that lined up right behind him. And said the fire of God fell from heaven and it consumed the sheep and the servants. And then there was another messenger that lined up before he could finish telling him what was wrong. And then another messenger lined up behind him and told him all of his sons that a great wind of the wilderness came and it smote the four corners of the house and now all of his sons are dead. Job had a day like none other. And while he was yet speaking, another one would line up, one right after the other. I've not seen anybody yet. We've had troubles and we've had heartaches. And I can tell you, I've suffered a lot of things, but I've not had what Job had, where one right after the other was just bad news. We all know the story of Job. I don't have a flashy title for this message tonight. I'll say it's this, Job's testimony. And I've read the 42 chapters of Job, and I know all, and I'm not going to go through all 42 chapters of Job tonight, but I do know that in the end of the chapter, in chapter 42, the Bible said he got twice as much as he had. So we know how Job got blessed because he stayed with God. But I'm interested in chapter number 1 tonight because I believe chapter 1 is what sustained Job and got him all the way through to chapter number 42. The reason Job stayed with God is because God had blessed him. He learned it. It wasn't because of what he'd done in verse number 42. I don't serve Christ tonight for what I'm going to get out there in the future. What am I doing now? We sang that song this morning, How Firm a Foundation. I'm glad tonight that the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are His, and every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But I'm glad there's a sure foundation. Job laid the foundation in chapter 1 that got him through chapter 2, that got him through chapter 3, that got him through chapter 4. And when Job, chapter 2, when his wife had told him to just curse God and die, and all of his friends said, why do you serve God? And why are you still going with God? Job had already laid the foundation in chapter 1 to get him through the rest of the chapter. So when 42 came up, you could still see why God blessed him. It was laid out in chapter 1. I've got four quick things tonight, and I won't keep you long, but I want us to look at it. The first thing I see is the passion of Job's heart. The passion of Job's heart. Look in verse number 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright. One that feared God and eschewed evil. Job had a passion in his heart. Why did Job do what he did? Let me say this. Job had a heart for God. Job served God. He knew what it was like to have everything taken away. Job knew what it was like in chapter 14, verse number 1, where it said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And I'm here to tell you tonight, a lot of times when a preacher preaches, he goes home because he knows that something bad is going to happen. And I can experience that from my own self, that sometimes when you all that stuff you're saying you're preaching about is going to come back to roost on you. But I'm going to say this, Brother Job had something in him, and it was the passion of his heart. Why did Job do what he did? The Bible said that he was a perfect man and upright. Let me explain this tonight so that you can get this. The word perfect there is not a Jesus perfect. That word means complete. That Job had a completeness about him. Job was a man that feared the Lord, the Bible said. He was one that eschewed evil. Job was a man that served God. Job was a man that not only did the Bible testify of him and it was written of him, if you look on down in verse number 8, you'll figure out when Satan came before God, God had a testimony of Job. He repeated it. So I would think it was very important that Job was doing what God wanted him to do and God would testify of him. I wonder tonight if God would testify of you, what would he say? And me. What would he say of me tonight? Job had a passion and his passion was serving God. He was perfect. He served him from his heart. I do have the need tonight to kind of tell you what the word heart means. We know that the heart physically is what pumps our blood through our body. Physically, I have a heart inside of me, and my nervous system, and it flows blood through me and pumps through my organs and through my extremities, and that's how I have life. But let me say this: the heart in the spiritual world is what has connection to your soul. Job knew that in his heart, not his physical heart, but in his spiritual heart, was turned toward God. That's the reason Job was able to get from chapter 1 down to verse number 4, chapter 42, is because he had a passion to serve God. The passion of Job's heart. You'll find the first mention of the word perfect is in Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 9. It's with the old brother Noah. The Bible talks of Noah. It says that Noah was a man, just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Noah had the same passion that old brother Job had. He had a passion to serve God. That word upright, he's perfect and upright, that means he shot straight. We live in a day where people don't shoot straight. They don't let their yea be yea and their nay be nay. I always tried to, I'm old fashioned. I got a phone in my pocket. I try not to talk on it. I've been on call for 20 years in the professional world. You know what I do? If you try to text me a lot of times, or you try to IM me, we have IM at work. You know what I do? I want to call you on the phone. You know why? I want to hear how you said it. I want your yea to be yea and your nay to be nay. And when you shook a man's hand, that means that was it. That was as a contract deal, signed and delivered. I like that. Brother Joe was like that. The Bible said he was upright. He shot straight. I believe Joe was a conservative tonight. I'll throw this in for free tonight. I believe he'd vote right, too. He's perfect and upright. Job said his yea was yea and his nay was nay. The passion of his heart. Not only that, tonight, he said he feared God. He reverenced God. He respected God. He feared God. Not that he hid up underneath the rock because God was going to pop him because he did something wrong. But Job had a reverence for God. We live in a day where people don't fear God. They have no respect of God. They don't reverence God. They don't reverence his house. They'll throw trash in the yard. They'll curse God. They'll say, "Where is your God?" But I'm glad tonight we had a man that's showing us how to get to verse chapter 42, because he made it through chapter 1 because he feared God. Not only that, the Bible said he eschewed evil. You know what that means? He withhold and withdrawn himself from evil. Every appearance of evil, you know what Job did? He did his best not to be there. I got word for me tonight and you. If you don't want to be in the appearance of evil, guess what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to flee from it. You're going to have to run from it. Job said, "I don't want to be around it." Job had a passion of his heart. Everything in his being said, "I'm going to serve God no matter what." He didn't know what was going to happen to him on that same day. But he already had it in his heart that he would do whatever it takes to serve God. Tonight, make your mind up to serve God, because we know not what tomorrow may bring. But I do know who holds tomorrow. I'm glad Job had a passion of his heart. Not only the passion of Job's heart, secondly, I'll say this, the pattern of Job's home. The pattern of Job's home. Look in verse number 5. The Bible said, "And it was so, when the day," talking about his sons and his daughters, "the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all." And here it is. And Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This did Job continually. Job patterned his home after God. It do us good tonight to pattern our home after God. And do what it takes to serve God. It's not popular, and I teach this to my teenagers on Wednesday night, it's not popular for them to serve God in the days that we live in. And I'll tell you why. Because mamas and daddies aren't patterning their home to serve after God. We know how to take them to the ball field. We know how to take them fishing, and I love fishing, and I love ball field. I did ball field Friday night, I did fishing Saturday. But I tell you where I'm at today on Sunday. I'm here in the house of God. And if we'd have had the house of God on Friday night, you know where I'd have been? I'd have been in the house of God. Most of the generation my age are no longer patterning their homes after God. I'll say this, Job provided for his home. He provided what he needs of his hands. God made him able to work, and God blessed him because he worked, and Job provided for his family. The Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 8, it said that But if any not provide for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Job provided for his family. Not only did he provide for his family, I want to say he prepared his family. I believe every time they messed up, Job tried to make amends with God. He tried to make things right with God. The Bible said he went behind him and offered burnt offerings. I believe Job had prepared his family. Let me say tonight, you may have a wayward son, and he may be way out there, or a wayward daughter. Let me say this. Prepare, you do what's right and trust in the Bible and what he said in Proverbs 22:6, where he said, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from him. And stand on that verse. You've done what you're supposed to. You prepared your home. Job was a man that prepared his home. Then I want to say this, thirdly, Job prayed for his home. The Bible said he did it continually. I believe every time Job went to pray, I tell you what was on his mind. He said, my family, my sons, my daughters, my wife. I want to say this tonight. It's good for us tonight to pray for our family. Look, we don't know what a day is going to bring forth. I don't know what I'm going to face tomorrow. And I want to be like Job was in chapter number 1 before he knew his family was gone. I was still going ahead and laying prayers up in the bank to know that I was serving God. And if I could teach my son anything, I'd teach him to pray. I'd teach him to pray. I tell you what, Brother Jamie's not here tonight. He helped me one time. We was in Bible college, and Jamie got up and he said this. He said, when you approach the throne of God, because I mean, I want to pray, and this is what he said. He said, when you go to approach the throne room of heaven, he said, reach out and act like you're touching Jesus' feet. And I want to say tonight, that helped me more than any book. I wish he was here tonight. He helped me more than any book. Anything I'd ever read, when he said that, I had trouble in praying. I'd always say, my prayer's not reaching up, not going past the ceiling. They said, but when you get down to pray, just reach out, you just get touched, Jesus, touch him on his feet, and act like you're there in the throne room. When a plane approaches an airport, guess what? It don't come in any other way. I feel like sometimes when we go to pray, we just come in any other way. I'll tell you what a plane does when it approaches an airport, it clears through the tower. And I'll tell you what, they get that thing lined up. It do us good to line ourselves up, line our homes up, get our hearts right, get us in a state of prayer, get our minds where it needs to be on the Lord. And Job was a man that did this continually for his sons and his daughter. Job had his prayer life right. Job was a man that not only did you see he had the passion of his heart, but he had a pattern of his home. Thirdly tonight, I want to say this. You'll see in verse number 10, the protection of Job's hedge. Look in verse number 10 tonight. It said, hast thou not made an hedge about him, and all his house, and all about he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and increased his substance, and is increased in the land. Satan had come before God and said, God said, have you considered Job? I don't even want my name to even pop up in the category of that, because I don't know if I could take it. But he said, have you considered my servant Job? And you know what the devil himself, God said this, has he considered my servant Job? And the devil said, I would get him, but guess what? There's only one problem. You got that hedge about his house. You got that no fishing sign. I'm glad tonight, and some of y'all ought to shout about this, that there's a hedge about your home. I'll tell you why Job had a hedge about his home. Because he had his passion right of his heart, but he had the pattern of his home right, and God had hedged his home in. I challenge you parents tonight and your grandparents, get a hedge about your home. Don't let anything. When I grew up in the country, my grandmama, she didn't have a, she never did hardly lock a door. She had one of what we called a screen door. Any of y'all know what I'm talking about? One of them on a spring. You knew when somebody walked in because you hear that old spring hit and that door go slap up against the wall. Let me say this. There's things that could have gotten our house if that door was not shut. Let me say this. I'm glad tonight God's got a hedge about us and he's got his hand of protection about us. God had a hedge of protection about Job. It was sealed by God. It was settled by God. I want to say this. It was secured by God. The devil had limitations because God had secured it from Job. You say, what do you mean by that? Why does God allow things to happen tonight? Why would God take a man that's serving him with all his heart? a man that patterned his home after the teachings of the Bible and the statutes of the Bible. Why would God allow things to happen to Job tonight? I can't answer that. I can't tell you tonight why God allows things to happen in our life. But I will say this tonight, that comforts of life sometimes keep us from the closeness of God. The comforts of life. You see, Job, as long as he had that security around him, he had that hedge around him, he didn't know the closeness of God that he could have experienced, that he'll go through in chapter number 2, chapter number 3, 4, 5, all the way down to 42. But I believe Job had it in his belt on chapter number 1. And that's why 42 turned out like it did, because he was already doing it before it happened to him. Job had a hedge about him. It was settled and was secured by God. I wrote this down. There's no accidents with God. Don't let nobody lie to you. Where God has a plan, He's always got a purpose. Where He's got a plan, He's always got a purpose. And He was allowing those things to happen to Job so that not to see who Job was, but to see who God was. God allows things to happen. I thought about Paul in his thorn. Y'all remember the story of the Apostle Paul? There's a lot of places I could turn tonight as an illustration to talk about God allowing things to happen. Paul was a man that preached the gospel. Paul was a man that had 3 missionary trips. Paul was a man that followed after God. Paul wrote, if you attribute the book of Hebrews to him, 14 out of 27 books in the New Testament. Paul was a man that served God with all his heart. But there was something that happened to Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. The Bible said in verse number 7 that God had sent a messenger of Satan to buffet him. Let me tell you what the word buffet means. The word buffet means to be beat black and blue. It means to rap with a fist and to literally hit on somebody. And God has done, and the Bible said that God, He had sent Paul a thorn in the flesh. Much like Job had a trouble here. Much like some of us, we have a thorns in the flesh. What did God do? Paul, you remember what Paul did? He sought the Lord thrice before He take that thorn away from him. And what did God do? He would not take it away, would He? God said, Paul said, I can't live with it. And God would say, you can't live without it. You can't live without it. Some of us have thorns in the flesh tonight. But let me tell you this, they're bringing you closer to God. Job's trouble was going to bring him closer to God than he'd ever been before in his life. God had removed that hedge and that security, and it brought him a closeness that he would never have experienced if it wouldn't be for that hedge being taken down tonight. Job was not in sin. Job, the Bible said he was a perfect man. God testified of Job. Job was a man that followed after God, the protection of Job's hedge. And then lastly tonight, we see the passion of Job's heart. The pattern of Job's home, the protection of Job's hedge. But lastly tonight, the possession of Job's hope. The possession of Job's hope. Look in verse number 20 in chapter number 1. We know that Job had just lost all his had. What is the first thing that Job did after? While he was yet speaking, one messenger came. While he was yet speaking, another messenger came. While he was yet speaking, another messenger came. And every one of them was taking away the loss of everything that Job had. What would Job do? I want to say that this is what it says in the Bible. In chapter number 1, verse number 20, it said, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. And he said, naked came I out of the mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The possession of Job's hope. Job did not hope he had. He had hope. I want to say this tonight. There's a difference in a wish and a hope. People go around saying, I wish I'd win the lottery. But I'm glad tonight I have hope in the Lord. You know why? Because I have hope because I'm sure of it. You see what hope is. Hope is an expectation of something that's going to happen. You may wish on a lot of things tonight, but I'm telling you what, this thing with serving Christ and this thing with serving the Bible and serving the God of the Bible is hope tonight. I'm here tonight because I'm not waiting on hope. I have hope. And if I were to close my eyes in death tonight, my hope is in Jesus Christ. Y'all can roll me down here in front of this church and sing hallelujah. I'm on the other side praising Jesus tonight. I have hope. Job possessed hope. Don't let your hope go away. If I came here to say one thing to somebody tonight, it's this. Don't let your hope go away. Job, in chapter number 2, could have gave up on hope. And he had all the reasons to. He could have let all of his wife, his circumstances, everything that was going on about him could have faded away. But I tell you what, Job did not lose. He did not lose his hope. Job, if you'll look down, Job had a great sermon. Let me say this. They rolled me down here. I hope I can have the same sermon that Job did. Job practiced what he preached. He practiced what he preached. There was no need for a man to get up and say Job was going to heaven when they rolled Brother Job down on his funeral day. There was no need for that. Everybody in that building knew where he was going. He practiced what he's going to preach. This is what Job said in chapter 13, verse number 15. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Though he kill me, he said, I'm going to keep on trusting. Tonight, do you have that hope tonight? Would you be like Job and say, though he slay me, I'll just trust in him. I think I'll just go on with God. Job had a great sermon. You'll see the sermon that he preached. Not only that, the sermon that he preached, I'll say the suffering that he persevered. The suffering. Job suffered a lot of things. I ain't got time tonight to tell you all the stuff Job suffered. But I'll say this, his wife turned on him. His friends turned on him. Everything within him turned on him. Job suffered greatly. But I'll tell you what, Job suffered, but it only brought him closer to Christ. Everything that he did, he suffered and drawed him closer. Let me say this tonight. The closer we get to God or Christ, the more purging that goes on. Anybody that ever got around Christ or God, you know what they do? They get cut on. The closer you get to God, guess what? You're going to get cut. You know why? Because God's trying to purge. There's a law of purging in John chapter 15. You get try to get close to God, the pressures of the cross, let me tell you what, you're going to get cut on. That's why a lot of people don't want to get around the cross. But I want to say this. I'll give you a country boy's illustration tonight. How many of y'all own a tube of toothpaste? I hope all of you do. I'm talking about one of them old-timing ones. I ain't talking about that new style where they got these fancy caps and all that. But on that on a tube of toothpaste, you know what happens? The pressures on the outside, as you were to push down on that tube of toothpaste, reveals what's on the inside. Job suffered pressure from the outside. You know what it did? It squeezed inside of him, and it revealed to the world what was on the inside. I'm glad tonight that Christ has put some of the things down inside of me, and as this world begins to squeeze on me and squeeze on you, it not only does it reveal what's on the outside, but it reveals what's on the inside. And I hope it's pointing toward Christ tonight, the suffering that he persevered. And then lastly tonight, talking about the possession of Job's heart, the sight that he pursued. Job never lost sight of Jesus or the Lord in this. I'll say Jesus, but I mean the Lord. Job never lost his focus. No matter what Job was facing and all that he did in chapter 1, he had already had his focus on the Lord. Tonight, I've been studying the book of Luke, chapter number 7. And the Bible says this three times. Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem. I find that very interesting. He set his face toward Jerusalem. You know what Jesus was going to Jerusalem for in Luke 7? All he had on his mind was a cross. Jerusalem being where they would crucify the Lord, right outside of Jerusalem. Jesus set his face for that. You know why? Because he said, not my will, but thine be done. And he set his face. His whole being. No doubt Jesus did miracles. No doubt Jesus did a lot of great things. And he had healings. And the lame began to walk and the deaf began to hear. And the blind received their sight. But I want to say this. He set his face toward Jerusalem. The sights he saw. He had something in his vision that was far greater than all the miracles he could do. You know what that was? It was to go to a cross. an old rugged cross. Why? Because there'd be an old sinner boy standing up here in front of you tonight. On April 8, 1998, I'd call on the Lord. He set his face toward Jerusalem. You say, what did he say? In Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2, it said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The Bible said this, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus thought it was joy to go to the cross. I wonder tonight if we'd be like old brother Job and we'd get Jesus in our sight. We'd have him all we knew was Jesus. No matter who was hitting on us, no matter what pressure was squeezing on us, no matter what rose up in our life, all that was in our sight is what Jesus has done for us tonight. The sights he pursued. Job did not let his friends get him off track. He didn't let his family get him off track. He did not let his circumstances get him off track. Job had his sights set on the Lord. And I believe that's how Job made it from chapter number 1 all the way to verse chapter 42. It's because he had his testimony of the passion of his heart. Not only that, the pattern of his home, the protection of his hedge, but the possession of his hope. Job had hope in Christ. Job had hope in the Lord. Job was able to go from chapter 1 to chapter 42 because of his hope tonight. I wonder if there'd be somebody in here tonight that your hope is about dwindled away. And God says, God sent me here tonight just to tell you one thing. Have hope in Him. This government may not be able to help you. There may be times I may not be able to help you. But I tell you, my hope's in somebody not in this world, but in another world tonight. And if you have hope in Him, it's not I hope I have, but it's this tonight. I have hope. There is hope tonight. I thank you for your attention.